You're listening to Carrie Lutz's Financial Survival Network, where you get valuable information you just can't find anywhere else. To thrive in today's trying times, you need the Financial Survival Network, now more than ever. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and get your free newsletter and gift. Financial Survival Network, now more than ever.
Welcome. You are listening to the Financial Survival Network. I'm Carrie Lutz. Well, watching the price of gold, it's kind of stuck, pinned in a channel in the mid-1850s, up and down a little bit, kind of directionless markets, but certainly the mining stock sector is really kind of moribund, to say the least, trading at major, maybe not all-time lows, but darn close to it. And we wanted to take from industry expert insider, and Kyle Floyd is with us now. Kyle, you're CEO of Vox Royalty. So I know your business has been good, but the people that you help, that you finance, really, they're not doing too good, are they?
Yeah, I mean, the market's kind of interesting right now, and there's certainly, I think, a lot of volatility in the markets that's being priced in. But ultimately, and you know, I think we touched on it when I was on the program before, this feels a lot like 2008. It's not necessarily a perfect repeat, but I think it's very, very close. And what we saw on the heels of 2008 was 2009 to 2011. The end of 2011 was probably one of the most positive historic runs in metal prices that we've seen. And I think a lot of those same factors that drove metal prices then are present today, maybe even more so the factors that really should address an increase in precious metal prices. So I'm excited about where we stand, frankly. From our business perspective, it's an opportunity to find great value, but I'm actually really excited about what I think is coming in the markets. I saw very heavy inflation 2 years ago coming. That, to me, was no surprise. I think we're going to see a situation where the Fed has to back off. I think that's going to drive an increase in the speculation around metals. And I think that's coming. You know, again, I don't like to personally speculate in terms of my role as a spokesperson for Vox, but at a personal level, I think this fall and beyond is you're going to start to see really the beginnings of a very exciting bull run in the metals, especially precious.
Yeah, and you wonder when you look at the these mining stocks, how much lower they can go. A lot of them are just trading at less than cash in the bank.
The mining stocks have been really hit, and I think that's because of a couple of factors. One, the metal prices have not rocketed like I think many expected. We were not in that camp. We have kind of realized what we experienced to realize. But I think there are a lot of people out there painting expectations for much higher metal prices, and the metal prices aren't achieving that at the same time. And so that's causing some people to be disgruntled with the miners. Alongside that, obviously, the inflationary pressures are very impactful to the cost structures and the impacts on the bottom line for mining companies. And so mining companies are getting hit by metal prices not achieving what generally people that are following the industry would expect they would have achieved. Alongside mining companies getting hit by much higher costs due to inflation. So it's that double whammy right now that I think is going to begin correcting itself over the coming 6 to 12 months.
Yeah. So what do you think are some things that we'll know when it's coming? Tip-offs or just things that'll let savvy investors know that it's time to be fully or invested in a major way in the sector?
Yeah, usually when sentiment's really bad, and you tipped off the call with a pretty, you know, negative viewpoint on market sentiment. So I think that means we're probably likely getting close, to be honest. Sentiment is pretty poor. It's usually when you hear mining conferences not having a lot of energy. And that's what I've heard both from conferences I've been at and others that our team has attended, that the sentiment's not been very good. Mining companies are having a difficult time in North America raising capital. So usually that's a pretty good telltale sign. I remember when PDAC, the big mining conference in Toronto back in 2016, was, you know, kind of at all-time low sentiments. It was from that point forward that we kind of saw, you know, a big uptick in metal prices and share prices in the metal sector. In terms of other factors, I think really the big one that's going to happen, my opinion, of course, is I think by late fall, you're going to see some of these supply chain issues work out. We've seen the information regarding inventory continue to increase at a consumer level. So all those supply chain shocks that were roiling the markets and increasing inflation are starting to work themselves out. And the housing market's already tipping. I can tell you that's happening here in Denver. And what I think is going to happen is the Fed by the fall is going to be able to foreshadow a tapering of rate increases and potentially stalling out on any rate increases. And I think it's that foreshadowing that's going to happen. The markets are going to start pricing that in the fall. And I'm not one that ever says you should be trying to call a bottom or a top. That's a fool's business. But I do think that overall landscape and backdrop is going to be very productive for metal prices. That's my expectation, is by fall, you're starting to see the Fed come out and be very light in terms of guiding towards higher rates.
Yeah, so the Fed pivot, I mean, that's what everybody's waiting on. We know that this week, and I should mention it's Tuesday, May 31st, actually today, Fed Chair Powell is meeting with the White House, whomever that might be, to actually have a discussion about the economy. I guess they just noticed that things aren't going so great, huh?
Look, that's what they have to do to tame inflation in a lot of respects. But ultimately, I think you're going to have a higher level of standard inflation. I think the Fed target, they've come out, you know, for years, it's been 2%. I think it's going to be a scenario where you're living with more inflation, but that they are tapering off on these rate inclines. Increases. They said that they were behind the curve. I think by fall, they feel like they're in line with where they need to be. And they will have done their job. They will have probably hurt the economy in the process. And who knows, if they had started sooner, like they probably should have, maybe the economy could have withstood the rate increases. But I think what they've had to do is definitely dented a lot of the areas of the economy that probably we needed to see continue to perform.
So they had to kill the market to save it, huh?
Seems like that, right? It definitely seems like that. But you know, the market—it's amazing. I think you have probably seen the same and have the same observations as me. Bear markets typically do not last as long as bull markets, and we've clearly been in a bear market. And you know, you've got a lot of strong businesses with strong balance sheets, and I think that's a big difference from 2008. So I think coming out on the heels of this, you know, there's certainly some companies that have probably been beat up more than they should have been, metals that have been beat up more than they should have been. And also, you know, what no one I think is pricing in well right now is China has decimated their economy. Mm-hmm. And they, you know, that is the one thing that their political, organization holds on to, the Communist Party holds on to, which is growth of their economy. It's the one thing that keeps everybody happy, is when everyone's fully employed or you know, marginally more happy than they would be otherwise. And I think you're going to see China go through a restocking phase. That's the one thing they know how to do very, very well, which is infrastructure spend. And they are going to have to catch up from shutting their people down and their society down for 2 years. And I would expect that is a big boost to metals for at least a few years.
All right. So, I mean, at some point, though, the infrastructure spending, what good does it do, really, right?
Don't just survive. Thrive. The Financial Survival Network.
Osino Resources is a Ross Beattie-backed gold exploration company in mining-friendly Namibia. Osino's district-scale land package is situated near two producing gold mines, one of which Osino's management team previously developed and sold to B2 Gold. Osino's founders and management are experienced mining professionals who have already successfully developed and sold two companies in the past 7 years. Osino has a tight share structure, and with its current treasury, it can self-fund the advancement of its gold discovery into at least 2022. This is an exploration company with drills turning that you'll definitely want to pay attention to. Osino trades in New York under the ticker OSIIF and in Toronto under the ticker OSI. To learn more, go to osinoresources.com. That's osinoresources.com.
This is the Financial Survival Network, the information you need to thrive now more than ever.
You know, I can't sit here and say that I believe in, you know, is it a bridge to nowhere? They've built, you know, a handful of those. But that is the one thing they know how to do. They're not necessarily an overly innovative, from the government down society. But the one thing that they have historically been well-equipped to do is infrastructure spend. And you're seeing that in kind of all the rumblings coming out of the Chinese Communist Party is we are going to do whatever it takes to build the economy back. And the only thing that they know how to do really well is infrastructure. So my expectation is, you know, that will be a rising tide, like what we saw, you know, kind of in the last super cycle. I don't think this is a super cycle like that was. That was really China becoming an industrialized society, where this is going to be more about kind of building back from 2 years of basically being stalled out. And I think they have to do it. So my expectation is you're going to see metal prices do very, very well over the next 1 to 2 months, who knows? But at some stage, that should carry precious metals as well. You know, they typically, you're now seeing precious and base and industrial metals trade much more closely in line across that broad basket than maybe they have historically. So I do think that's going to be good for you know, generally all metals, including precious.
All right. So so this is China's version of Build Back Better, huh?
They're actually putting money into the infrastructure, though.
Their infrastructure.
Versus the infrastructure bill I think the U.S. passed, which I think about 3% or something actually went to infrastructure.
Right. Well, hey, interesting. So for your business, things have been going pretty good, though, huh?
You know, our business is a little nuanced in that we go find third-party royalties over great projects that would never put a new stream or a new royalty on them. So we're getting really high-quality projects like the deal that we just announced, the One Moon Iron Ore royalty that we acquired. You know, that's a very productive mine. It's a $12 billion operator. Our model allows us to find great assets at great valuations from these third parties. And so a market like this increased volatility, increased uncertainty, allows us to find better value on better projects, therefore allowing us to acquire great royalties that are really adding value to our investors and our business. So that was just a continuance of what we've been doing, but it's our nuanced business model in a market like this. It's allowing us to create exceptional value. We've seen record quarterly revenues as of last quarter. We expect that pace to continue. So yeah, we're in a really good position. The market certainly is not reflecting the value that's been created and continues to be driven for our shareholders. But at some point that will be changed, and it will reflect the value that's in the business right now at a share price level. So that's going to happen. But yeah, it's been a really productive few months since we last spoke, and excited for where our business sits.
So you're kind of a situation of the baby with the bathwater, huh?
Yeah, we are the baby in the bathwater, and the water's warm, and we're just waiting for, you know, others to realize that we're in really, really good shape, despite the market volatility and uncertainty that's all around us.
Well, we're certainly living through interesting times, as the saying goes, and how much more interesting, I don't think we really have any indication. Kyle, being an optimist, obviously you're CEO of a company that's doing well. You got to be an optimist to keep moving on. What are the reasons for optimism for the economy? Are there any?
You know, I think they say good CEOs have some optimism, and I certainly have some optimism, but I think the best CEOs have a healthy degree of realism as well. And, you know, it's tough to paint a really productive macro picture. It really is. There are some areas within the economy that you can probably have some positive sentiment around, but by and large, it's tough. I'm not going to lie. I don't know, you know, tech dominates a lot of the economy these days. Real estate dominates a lot of the economy. Tough to be overly excited when you see growth tailing off as much as it has in both of those sectors very recently. So I'm not going to go, paint fairy tales of what I expect for. That's a huge portion of the economy. I don't have the exact figure, but I'm going to, I believe from data that I'm recalling, it's somewhere probably between 40 and 60% of GDP these days is real estate and tech. So I'm not overly optimistic about the general economy. I am very optimistic about the metals, though. And share prices probably as well. I think some of this has been an overreaction to increased rates. You have some very good businesses that have been hammered at a stock price level significantly that's probably overdone. So maybe not overly optimistic on where the macro environment is going. But I think there are some areas to certainly make money and be invested in that should do well.
All right. Well, we appreciate your take on it. Time will tell. Obviously, oftentimes it's always darkest before the light. And, you know, you think, the whole thing is the media, their narrative, and how much you buy into it. It's going to be interesting to see. I'm not making any predictions, only that, Louis Rukeyser used to say on Wall Street Week on PBS, markets will tend to fluctuate, and we'll leave it at that. Kyle, people want to find out more about you. Where's the best place to go to get your take on things?
Absolutely. VoxRoyalty.com is probably a very good starting point. We're, of course, on all the social media channels. You can also email ir@voxroyalty.com. I'm on there quite frequently answering investor questions and inquiries. But yeah, that's a good starting point to learn more.
All right. Excellent. Well, we'll have a link in the show notes to this interview on Financial Survival Network. Really appreciate you coming on, sharing your take from the trenches, as it were. We're just sitting back here in our studio in sunny southern Florida, kind of watching things unfold. But we do like to get the input from people situated like you, Kyle. I think it's really helpful for you people out there to really hear from the people who are actually doing things. And we will talk to you again. Thanks so much for stopping by.
Thanks, Carrie. Absolutely my privilege.
Thanks for listening to Carrie Lutz's Financial Survival Network, your solution to today's trying times. For the latest, go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com. Financial Survival Network, now more than ever.